The sound of the old man's footsteps had hardly died away when Siegfried emerged from the cupboard. He brandished a pair of horse-tooth forceps in my face.
"Oh, but I've been ages hunting these down. I'm sure you deliberately hide things from me, James."
I smiled, but made no reply. And as I was replacing my syringe on the trolley, my colleague spoke again.
"James, I don't like to mention this, but aren't you rather rash, doing work for nothing?"
I looked at him in surprise. He was an old age pensioner. Pretty hard up, I should think.
"Maybe so, but really, you know, you just cannot give your services free."
"Oh, but surely occasionally, Siegfried, in a case like this."
"No, James, not even occasionally. It's just not practical."
"I've seen you do it time and time again."
"Me?"
His eyes widened in astonishment.
"Never!
I'm too aware of the harsh realities of life for that.
Everything has become so frightfully expensive. For instance, weren't those M&B 693 tablets you were dishing out? Heaven help us, do you know those things are threepence each? It's no good. You must never work without charging." "But damn it, you're always doing it,"
I burst out.
"Only last week there was that..."
Siegfried held up a restraining hand.
"Please, James. Please. You imagine things. That's your trouble."
I must have given him one of my most exasperated stares because he reached out and patted my shoulder.
"Believe me, my boy, I do understand. You acted from the highest possible motives, and I have often been tempted to do the same, but you must be firm. These are hard times, and one must be hard to survive. So remember in future, no more Robin Hood stuff. We can't afford it."
I nodded and went on my way somewhat bemusedly, but I soon forgot the incident, and would have thought no more about it, had I not seen Mr. Bailey about a week later. His dog was once more on the consulting room table, and Siegfried was giving it an injection. I didn't want to interfere, so I went back along the passage to the front office and sat down to write in the daybook. It was a summer afternoon. The window was open, and through a parting in the curtain, I could see the front steps. As I wrote, I heard Siegfried and the old man passing on their way to the front door. They stopped on the steps. The little dog, still on the end of its string, looked much as it did before.
"All right, Mr. Bailey," my colleague said. "I can only tell you the same as Mr. Harriet. I'm afraid he's got that cough for life, but when he gets bad, you must come and see us."
"Very good, sir." The old man put his hand in his pocket. "And what is the charge, please?"
"The charge? Oh, yes, the charge."
Siegfried cleared his throat a few times, but seemed unable to articulate. He kept looking from the mongrel dog to the old man's tattered clothing and back again. Then he glanced furtively into the house and spoke in a hoarse whisper.
"It's, nothing, Mr. Bailey."
"But, Mr. Farnan, I can't let you..."
"Shh!"
Siegfried waved a hand agitatedly in the old man's face.
"Not a word now. I don't want to hear any more about it."
Having silenced Mr. Bailey, he produced a large bag.
"There's about 100 M&B tablets in there," he said, throwing an anxious glance over his shoulder. "He's going to keep needing them, so I've given you a good supply."
I could see my colleague had spotted the hole in the trouser knee because he gazed down at it for a long time before putting his hand in his jacket pocket.
"Hang on a minute."
He extracted a handful of assorted chattels. A few coins fell and rolled down the steps as he prodded in his palm among scissors, thermometers, pieces of string, bottle openers. Finally, his search was rewarded, and he pulled out a banknote.
"Here's a quid,"
he whispered, and again nervously shushed the man's attempts to speak. Mr. Bailey, realizing the futility of argument, pocketed the money.
"Hi. Thank you, Mr. Farnan. I'll take Mrs. to Scarborough with that." "Good lad, good lad,"
muttered Siegfried, still looking around him guiltily.
"Now, off you go."
The old man solemnly raised his cap and began to shuffle painfully down the street.
"Hey, hold on there,"
my colleague called after him.
"What's the matter? You're not going very well."
"It's this dang arthritis. I'll go a long way in a long time."
"And you've got to walk all the way to the council houses?" Siegfried rubbed his chin irresolutely.
"That's a fair step."
He took a last wary peep down the passage, then beckoned with his hand.
"Look, my car's right here," he whispered. "Nip in and I'll run you home."